Yeah, let's just finish up a couple of points on the Rishonim, and then let's move on, even though there's much more to talk about, let's move on to the next part of the sugya today. So again, just to add a couple of quick ha'aros to what we have already been doing, the last thing that we did was we went through the Ramban and the Balamor Ramban and the Rif. I think clearly they enriched our understanding, as they always do. The Ramban in particular, both aspects, both his more, you know, his earlier traditional approach, still some of the formulations are very critical, but especially his complete break from the Balei Tosis and some of the Ha'aros that he makes and some of the formulations are really very pivotal to the entire sugya. So just two things before we move on to the Ravid. We should have probably done the Ravid before the Ramban, but Ramban is a bigger breakthrough. Two Ha'aros that were made to me. Firstly, Yeshua brought to my attention just the language of the Ramban, and I had a mind to speak about this as well, that when the Ramban makes a distinction between Kabbalah Shmira and Shmira Derami Rachmana Alei, so I think a very, very subtle, but a very, compelling distinction in general. So when he wants to formulate all of this, right, so he uses the following expression. Right, can the mind speak of Marbis Svara, Mishkachas Leit, Marnitirus of the Haki, Kabila Sali, the Haka, Lo Kabila Alai, Elagabi Mashil. And we talked about that also, we'll get back to it, but that the Ramban's view in Mashil is, very, very specific. He thinks that, Mashil, there's no status probably of Madlik Bishal Chavero. Mashil is always Madlik Betosh Shalcha, but it's completely driven by Kabbalah Zacharias, by a real din of Shmira. The inlo la'akev atzmo milasas dleika betok sadeu, meaning even in the mokom shemashil. And I contrasted that already with the Minchas Chinuch, which tries to explain why it is that the Rambam even mentions the case of mashil, because mashil is, Rabbi Yehuda's modeh b'mashil. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So called kol shekein mashil, what do we even need it for? So the Minchas Chinuch, again, the Sma has one suggestion in Sivkata Yud Zayin, Shinuches Yud Zayin. And the Minchas Chinuch himself says, the difference is that the mashil is talking about a case where you instead of starting in your domain and then it's spreading to the Mokom Shehishil, right, you start with the Mokom Shehishil. And I'm suspecting, again, can't prove this 100%, that the Ramban would have just objected to that characterization. Because Ramban basically is saying that when it comes to Mashal, you always have Rishus, presumably meaning even the Mokom HaMashal. That's also a she'ela question, I think. I think that's an Aish question and a she'ela question. Okay, but that's an interesting question. Anyways, then he says, Hilkachomalei netirusa dahachi kabili alai, with the hachi lo kabili, right? Aval mazik bishel chaveiro, vadei chayiv bakol. And then he says, imishum chitza, imishum amona, that we've talked about, that's Ramban l'shitaso. And then he adds, dahalav mishum dekibala netirusa, right, the high bechavin alay, el mishum the rami alay the tirusa de gufe, o de mamone, the rachmana chayve behachi. Afagav leyodem mayda aziklam. So this formulation of the rami alay the tirusa de gufe, o de mamone, is just interesting. Shua made the point to me, and again I Baruch Shekivante had also thought of this, and that is that it's particularly interesting in light of the Ramban himself. Right, because again, as we noted, I think one of the reasons that the Ramban is so quick on some, to reject the notion that there could be any kind of, limitation on the, on the dinars, kesev, dinar, zahav, mazik case or the batash case, meaning why he rejects Tosis that there can be a havali lasuke when it comes to adam mazik, is because I think it certainly fits into his view of adamu and the olam being, a filu bonus gabur. Just as I think Tosis's more flexible view on that makes this possible. But in the end of the day, one of the things that we're trying to explain in the Ramban is that the reason that may be true is that, because when it comes to Adamu Adi Olam, the Mechayev is the Maisa Hezek, right? And therefore, short of saying that the Maisa Hezek you know, is a kind of misasek, you know, you're going to be chayiv because it was a ma'isa hezek, as long as it's mitzurif to you. As opposed to, let's say, the Bali Tosas, who, you know, more likely than they're thinking, although again, we show that there are shitas lakan or lakan, but more likely than they're thinking that we expand the hagdara of anus, which makes you, you know, which makes hafkas ma'isa hezek, more likely is that their view is that the mechayiv is a choser shmiras atzmo. Right, and if you start with that, you know, it's already, the default is that it's just easier, you know, to neutralize. Like, there are situations where you're shomer atzmacha as much as you can be reasonably expected to do so. So even if you did a ma'isa hezek, if the mechayif is choser shmiras atzmo, so you're going to be pater. So it's just curious that here, when the Ramban is actually, you know, you know, focusing on the fact that there is, you know, limiting even further, right, the idea that havele asuka daite, or any some sort of an onus in yedi or misasek, whatever you want to call it, is going to be a ptur, you know, that he actually uses the expression, right, vadei chai bakol, im shim chizim shim mamona, the lav mekabel terusa, elem yishum deram elein yitirusa degufe odem mamone. Because you would have expected that that formulation of the tirusa degufe, you know, would be a little bit inconsistent with Ramban's view. So I think that the answer is very is simple and psychological, meaning where it comes from is the Gemara earlier on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara itself uses the expression of Shmiras Atzmo. That's where that idea, you know, is mentioned in the Gemara. Again, how literally we mean it, or, you know, the Gemara is trying to explain what does this have to do, like if you hold that Mave is Adam, you know, how does it fit into the language of the Mishnah, right, and so on. But I think that it's an opportune. So there is that Lashon out there, for sure. But I think that psychologically the Ramban put it here because the whole point of the Ramban is that, you know, of course we reject Tosas on, I'm speaking for the Ramban, you know, hopefully it isn't presumptuous, but of course we reject Tosas on Tzavach Beis Amud Aleph, you know, when it comes to Adamu the Olam Amad Mamazik. But the Ramban, as we know, is going, you know, very significantly beyond that, because he's telling us that, you know, v'hu adin, right, for sure, le'adam, I'm sorry, le'esho mishum chitza, and then he's going a giant step further even than that and saying v'hu adin, afilu leman damar, right, esho mishum mamono. So, again, in the end of the day, the Ramban is the most extreme, you know, in rejecting that there is a view of Havelei Lasuke that is a legitimate ptur. Because this is within his view, based on integrating the Yerushalmi and the Babli, right, a big parshanut step, which couldn't be done, you know, without, you know, huge conviction, right, that even Esha Mishum Amono, right, doesn't, you know, allow for, you know, this kind of a ptur. And again, that's the difference between Shmira, you know, which is imposed by the Torah, and Shmira. So if you want, you know, kind of to, it's more obvious, obviously, in Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, even though Tosis thought even there it could apply. So, you know, you're not going to accentuate at that point, you know, the singular character of Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. There you're going to kind of highlight the overlap between, you know, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam, namely Shmiras Atzmo, and the other Shmiros. Right. So I think this is the Ramban's way of saying, you know, I don't deny that there's a din of Shmiras Atzmo, I just think that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam has more than that. But legabe, this particular din, you don't need the Ma'isa Hezek, you know, perspective. The Shmiras Atzmo is enough. Or that the Shmiras Atzmo itself is what turns into Ma'isa Hezek. But either way, I think it's just an interesting part. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought also mentioned in the Ramban Balancia, right?
Yeah.
Is, says something a little bit different about H and the CSH. Because even if you take like a very strong other Mamazic perspective in H, you still have to acknowledge that it's Koach HaKamurubo.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means that it's not really Ma'isa.
Right. So again, so you if you want to go from here to there to there, you're going to probably want to accentuate the common denominator. No, exactly. Now, this is connected 100% with the Ramban in Bava Metzia that we already noted, and that is that Adam Mu'ad Li'olam Anus Gamur doesn't apply to Hish. That he'll agree, but that doesn't mean that this, meaning havale asuke adaite, qualifies, because that, you know, is on that spectrum, but it's considerably less. That's kind of like a ha'ara and a... do you also agree with that explanation, or are you a different explanation of why it's up?
I just added that maybe... I think Rabbi mentioned the last option that Rabbi just said, that maybe the chusur shmir is like more of the prerequisite of... To make it into
full. Yeah, exactly. I think that that's possible too. Okay, that's one. The other point is a point that Natan made to me as well, and that is the Ravid and the Ramban here, we'll see the language of the Ravid in just a second because there's something to point out there too. The Ravid and the Ramban in this sugya, you know, need to be added to our Hagdama, right, when it talks about, when we talk about the relationship between Gezel and Mazik. Again, because Takonas Nigzal, right, again, certainly the Lashonos that they both have, to what extent is Mazik or different types of Mazik in the category of Gezel and of Gazla? Along with, you know, again, there are Ben Yona and the Tur and the Tosarush and the other, you know, and the Ritva, you know, in Gittin and some of the other... expressions of this. But Natan was just making a good ha'ara, and that is that we noted that, you know, actually, in the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara itself, right, when the Gemara has its whole discussion, you know, of, you know, the equivalent of what I call Dabanas, you know, the Meikat, you know, the Gemara itself quotes Pasuk in Cheskel and applies, according to some Rishonim, to the case of Mazik, right, the language of Rasha Yashiv, that he's a Gazlan. Right. So I think Natan wanted just to make the point that the context, no matter what, is Eish. So just as we wondered, you know, about in discussing the relationship between, you know, is there an Isser at all? What is the Isser? When it comes to the Isser of Gezela, to the extent that it is, you know, integrated or practical, or also applied to Mazik, you know, where you draw the line. Is it on a mamazek? Right? Is it niske mamon? Is it niske mamon across the board? Right? Or is it only the niske mamons that really border on a mamazek? Right. So just as the Rishonim here, the Ramban in particular, and the Ravid in particular, you know, are understanding that the takonas nigzal here is not just applying the common denominator, what's common, you know, to, again, well, the common denominator of Nigzal, you know, Reuven created this problem for himself, you know, and part of the consequence of that is that Shimon's going to be given greater latitude in terms of nemanus, you know, to solve it. If that's all we mean, then, you know, there's nothing, you know, particularly conceptually or otherwise significant here. But clearly, you know, the Ramban and the Ravid understand it, you know, as being far more significant, right? For them, you know, part of the story of Takanas Nigzal is, you know, does your Nezek qualify as Gezela? And when it comes to that, we're making Chilukim, right? Maybe Chitzav and Mamono, maybe Tok Shalo and Tok Shal Chabero, right? Maybe, you know, Madlik, you know, Oso Godish, even within Chabero. You know, once we're making maybe davar sheb, you know, darko lahatmin and davar shein darko lahatmin, if we're making those chilukim with regard to takonas nigzal because of the relationship between gezela and mazik, and by extension, I should add, but we're just not going to do this right now. But there's a huge discussion here in the Rishonim, as we mentioned, by about moser, right? A person who's moser, is he a gazlan? Is he just a mazik? Is he a garmi mazik? A grubba mazik? What is he? Right. We talked a little about the Rambam in, you know, earlier in the year. But this is part of the same issue. But once you are working that way, so that makes even, takes more seriously the whole perspective of Gezela and Mazik. But then the possibility, if you're good Mechalik within Eish, you certainly could be Mechalik, you know, between Eish and other Niske Mamo. Right. So then the fact that the Gemara in Bava Kamma, you know, happens to be speaking about Eish, clearly, right, is very consequential. Remember, that whole Gemara is about, you know, the Gemara wants one, maybe they're arguing, maybe David HaMelech was wondering. That's also very inspirational. Like, you know, David HaMelech, you know, in the middle of war, and, Like he's trying to figure out, you know, how we paskin in Talmud Beis, whether he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or not. Whether he should, like, you know, take a Ravon stance or a Riff stance. I'm being a little anachronistic, but you get what I'm saying. So, or, you know, what happens, you know, is there a difference between Tok Shalo and Tok Shal Chaveiro? Or what's a din of, you know, Gonev Al Menas LeMekat when you apply it to, you know, to Mazik, or particularly the Mazik of Eish? Like, but anyways, I think that's a good hara. To what extent that Gemara, even if you do think it is not just Melitzos, but taken literally in a Raya, you know, is it limited to Eish, and if so, to which kind of Eish? Okay, those are our two things to mention at the moment. Let's talk for a minute about the Ravid. So the Ravid, you know, somebody mentioned, I think Adam mentioned, and then Natan also, that I guess last year around this time we were learning Harsha, right? But Harsha happens to be the next big Balamor and Ramban, or the next big Ramban, you know, over. It's the next one, literally. Right? This is the one on Tzavach, and that's the one on Ayin. So I hope everybody who was here has good memories of the Harsha. But it is a very apt, comparison. Because there too, I mean, the Ramban, particularly in Mechamos, even more so than in the Chidushim, although the Ramban's a very consistent thinker in Perushal HaTorah and Sefer Mitzvos and his Drashos and everything that he writes is a pretty consistent thing, very consistent thinker. Although again, he also sometimes changes his mind, as he tells us right here. And he also, you know, plays with formulations, especially when there are nuances and gray areas, ambiguities. So like the rest of us, he's always trying to figure it out. But the Ramban is a very, very consistent thinker. But even more in the Mechamos, and also, of course, in the Drashos, or like Svarim, like Taurus HaAdam, even more than in the Chidushim are pointed, you know, they're, you know, the style and the focus, you know, is much narrower. You know, it's a piece of the sugya, and it's, you know, usually a response to something. Whereas the, you know, the Mechamos is an opportunity for the Ramban, just like some of the essays are are an opportunity for the Ramban, like to weigh in on the totality of the sugya. So that's what makes them all more difficult and more complicated, because, you know, he's pulling from here and pulling from that. What about the Havamina? What about a parallel? What about, you know, this and that and so on? You know, which in the Chidushim he's often, you know, just has a narrower agenda. Maybe when you put them all together, you get a bigger picture, and sometimes you don't, sometimes you do. But it also brings out the best in, you know, in somebody like the Ramban, who has such formidable talents. Now, do you really see, again, his global view of the topic based on, you know, not just one line that he's interpreting, but like taking into consideration, you have really a window into his thinking. So like the one in Harsha, this one is a breakthrough idea, you know, both in terms of, you know, the formulations, the comparisons, and that's why we spent so much time on it, you know, to try to highlight the individual lines. But also like the Ramban on Harsha, I'm going to say, in addition to the subtleties and you know, all of that, and you know, basically revealing, confessing, you know, his different, you know, stages of understanding of the sugya, which you can really see, you could also see the very subtle, in some cases, or more direct in other cases, influence of the Ravid. When we did Harsha last year, so we, you know, we couldn't spend so much time on it, but we spent enough time, or I spent at least maybe a day or something, I don't remember, on the very, very long essay, and again, the Ravid also was very committed to trying to figure out Harsha, because it's a fault line, you know, between Shlichus and Kinyan and so on. And he wrote these, you know, very long essays in the Tmim Deim. Was it Samach Aleph, I think, or Samach Gimel? So once you know them, and even earlier, he just says, read the Asagas HaRavid and what the Ramban, you see just how much, you know, influence the Ravid had on the formative thinking of the Ramban. And the same is true in this particular sugya. So there are this whole idea that, especially the Takanas Nigzal, is something which itself isn't just stama dindarabanan, you know, that is applied, you know, kind of in the periphery of this sugya, but, you know, takonas nigzal itself is part of the essential hagdara of eish, or different types of eish, is something which is formulated first, as far as I know, by the Ravid here. Yeah. So it's very worthwhile. It's always worthwhile to see what the Ravid says, of course. But in addition to that, again, you could also see how the Ramban took it much further. But I think it's clear that he was inspired in part by the Ravid. So just let's talk about the Ravid for a minute. Eli, you want to first of all welcome back. Okay. So do you have the Ravid in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have the Pidushim. I have it on the Riff.
Yeah, the one on the Riff. They're pretty much the same. I think there's one word difference, although it's an important word. Anybody know the word?
Ella.
What?
It's Ella.
Ella? Well, that's probably a Girsa thing. I thought there's one word difference when I read it. A different one word. Anybody? Kemazik. On the Poshea part. Okay. Anyways, we'll see. But, Eli, go ahead.
Starting from Kasar Ravidzel.
Yeah, Kasar Ravidzel.
Kasar Ravidzel. Hanam Yilav Ha'ama Hukpa. Zilamai Hilfata Itzmara Hafu Milta Rabbi Yehuda. Lemru Al Rabban and Gufayhu. Oh. Madlik B'Tok Shal Chavira Al-Hatamu Asibot Ha'kana Nigzah.
Okay, so this is the Ramban owes this to the Ravid also. Right, namely, and that kind of is bringing out a little bit probably what the Balamor. The Balamor was saying, like, why do we care about Rabbi Yehuda? We don't paskin like it. The answer is because midday Rabbi Yehuda nishma, the Rabban. But then the bigger question is, right, and this is what the Ravid is already saying, right? Hanami lav time klal, right? Why don't you just say it straight for the Rabbanan? What do you need to go through Rabbi Yehuda, to teach you the Rabban? So basically, the Balamor's answer to that, I'm not sure if the Ramban in this is following the Balamor or following the Ramban. I'm sorry, following the Ravid. But the Balamor's answer to that is the Rabusa, right? We already know that he has a little bit of more limited Rabusa, meaning it's a bigger chiddush for Rabbi Yehuda, right? And therefore, the Rif mentions it. I'm sorry, the Gemara mentions it rather by Rabbi Yehuda because. It's a bigger chiddush there in Kol Shekein with the Rabban. But the Ravid actually doesn't like that, even though in the end, we'll see, it's a technical point, but I think it's an important technical point. Go ahead. Leimru le Rabban and Gufayu. So he doesn't like that, why not just say it straight? Well, the answer is because of the Rabusa. Right? So what doesn't he like? Go ahead. So that's where I think this is a very subtle but powerful point. Meaning, Tama de Milsa de Las Rabbanan, lo itzrich lemeimar, that's fine, that's Rabusa. You don't need to say it for Rabbi Yehuda. Once you said it for Rabbi Yehuda, you know it for the Rabbanan because it's a kol shekein. Although, as we noted, there doesn't have to be a kol shekein. Right, you could have said maybe it's only Rabbi Yehuda if you felt that Rabbi Yehuda holds more chitzav. If Rabbi Yehuda believes in more chitzav, then there's going to be a takaras nigzal, maybe even more the Rabbanan who hold less chitzav. Correct? But, okay, that's not the way they're going. They're looking at the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan divide in a different way. Right? They're looking at it in which way? That Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev even toh shalo. Right? And even, in a circumstance of in all circumstances, in terms of royal hap, menin royal hap, etc., it doesn't make a difference. And the chachamim are limiting, chiyuvim to the case of tok shalom. Okay, fine, but that's a kol shekein. What's interesting about the Ravid in a very subtle way is that he doesn't think that that's the end of the story. He basically says it's not just that there's a kol shekein. You actually don't need a kol shekein. Why? Go ahead. Ulamigmar lamid Rabbi Yehuda nami lo tzarich. That's an added line. Why? Meaning, it's not kol shekein, which is what a group of Rishonim say. It's a totally, you don't need the din at all. It's automatic. Like if we never were told, that, who adin l'Rabbi Yehuda, but kol shekein, we would know it anyway. Not misvara. How would we know it? From the Mishnah in Shavuos. Meaning, this isn't just comparable to Goslin, and Kol Shekein Rabbi Yehuda takes a case which is less Goslin and applies to Goslin. So Kol Shekein in the spectrum, Hu Adin, or Kol Shekein L'Chachamim. What the Ravid is saying is, we don't need this for the Rabbanan, because we already have it in the Mishnah and Shavuos. Because this is real Goslin. We'll see in a moment whether he qualifies that. But that's a very strong statement about Takonas Nigzal, and what's at stake here, and about applying this din. Okay? And he says it particularly in the case of Madlik Betoch Shel Chaveiro, right? That's a Goslin. So that's a double statement. Right? He's a Goslin, but it's a qualitatively different Eish. What does Shekinegda Nizhra Venotel? Probably what he means to say is maybe even, it's hard to know, I'm not 100% sure, there's a psul, Eidus and Shua, right? Just like the Chachmei Ashkenaz were saying. And therefore it's even Shekinegda Nizhra Venotel, always, meaning it's not even a, it's not just a takana of Nizhra Venotel, it's a din that there's no, We won't let him swear. Okay, right. El Rabbi Yehuda.
El Rabbi Yehuda, who the history, the Hachal Gav Lo Ha Gazlan Gamu, Kevah Hu Poshea B'Mamu Chaveiro the Gazlan Dam.
Yeah. So again, these formulations are just meaning for the Chachamim B'Toch Shel Chaveiro, that's Gazlan, right? And that's just part of the din of Takanas Nigzal automatically. Right, and for Rabbi Yehuda, there's a din in the Gemara that says that we're extending Takanas Nigzal, right? Even though he's not a Gazlan Gomer, but is he a Gazlan at all? Or does not being Gazlan mean Kivendu Poshea B'mamun Chaveiro? Now, in the Chidushim, at least what I think, they don't have the word. That's what I was saying. Oh, it's the same Ella?
No, he switches the meaning of his phrase.
Oh, I see. So, we're saying it's the same thing, basically. At least the effect. You have kiven. I mean, in the text that says kiven du poshea b'mamun chaveiro. What? Go ahead. Velo gazlan, velo ka gazlan dami.
No, in the Chidushim, instead of the phrase kevan dehu, he phrase velo ka gazlan gamor ela poshea b'mamun chaveiro.
Yeah, and it doesn't have ka gazlan dami. Okay, I get it. I think we're talking about different words, but we're talking about the same sentence and with the same effect. Again, how does it go in slowly? No, go ahead. In the Chidushim. In our text, we have Avagav Avagazan Gomor, Kivendu Poshea B'mamun Chaveiro, Ki Gazlan Dami. Okay, he's not a Gomor, but he's a Gazlan enough, and that's because his Poshea makes him a Gazlan. Legabezeh. And in the Chidushim, go ahead.
Right.
Oh, you have Kagazan Dami?
It's in brackets.
Oh, I think it's not in the real text. In mine, I don't have it. It's really not. It's not supposed to be. They put it in brackets, not in parentheses.
Rabbi Tzaviad?
What?
Rabbi Tzaviad in the Ravid?
No, unfortunately. He said he was going to send it, and I guess he got very busy. Yeah, let me see mine for a second. Here, the Afagav de Lohav. A second, Rabbi Yehuda who the Itzrich I have the Afagav de Lohav a Gazlan Ela Poshea B'Mamun Chaveiruhu. That's what I have. That's a different one. We all have different versions of the. Which Rava do you have? You don't have the Atlas? Oh, you have the old one. But not definitely not the one that he wrote. Okay, I can't explain why I said that for now, but. Bob Maven Yaman. But, okay, so in my text, it says, Kivin Amadi Betosho Chaver regarding the Chachamim. Hagufa gazlan hu. Okay? The shekenegdon is rabinotel. Rabbi Yehuda, who the itzrich, the afagab de lo have gazlan, as opposed to gazlan gamor, right? Ela poshea b'momen chaverahu. And it says, v'lav mishum d'chashir ha-shvuasa, ela mishum d'hai efshar l'meida, v'hai efshar l'meida. Okay, bikitzur, just to sum up. All I'm saying is there's a very subtle difference in the Ravid. You have something like that? You have a little closer to the language of the... Okay. So, again, I don't know the state of the Kisveya. Do they say anything there, like in the footnotes, or... Or those things are... But those things are in brackets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brackets usually mean it's not in the Ksav Yad, but they're convinced either based on some parallel text or just, you know, it doesn't make any sense, or the way it's, again, quoted by other, you know, Mefarshim, you know, that it reads better, that probably something is missing. It doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Yeah, I think they added it based
on the Haggadah of the Rim.
Yeah.
Okay. But no one should ever, ever do that. You know, and the reason for that is, let's take a step back. Why are we doing this? Like, you'd say, let's move on. And I understand. We will move on. Meaning, this is, as I'm trying to explain, this is a window into these, this is a really very subtle chilukim. Right, we have chitzav, we have mamono, we have toshalo, we have, you know, dark alahat. We have all these factors that are leading us to make distinctions, right, in p'tur tamun, in takanas nigzal. Like, we have a range of things. Like, this is hard. These are hard issues. Okay. So what's really happening is, like, you know, here we're sitting here in the 21st century in the middle of Washington Heights, you know, and we're spending a lot of effort and energy, you know, to try to define and to articulate these subtleties, because they really, really matter. They're fascinating, but even more so, they really matter, right? They define the parameters of mazik and gezela, and when kabbalah shmira, or when knowledge, or when expectations, you know, redefine those subtle categories and so on and so forth. Like, this is, you know, so these are dvarim home to Baruch Hashem, like an understanding, you know, responsibility and all such things. So that's what they were doing, you know, in the city of Pasquier, I guess, you know, way back in the, in the late 12th century, you know, that's what the Ravid was doing, you know. So he was, you know, and that's what the Ramban was doing in the 13th century and, in Spain. Like, everybody's trying to figure out and to define what this subtle line, you know, is all about. So if we do really have different texts, which I think we do, so just like the Ramban is playing with the formulations, the Ravid is also one of those people who is, just to add a historical note, the Ravid often, you know, again, not like the Tosfos Rid, but the Ravid, you know, often refined his thinking. He sometimes changed his thinking, you know, from the different things that he wrote. And he also often refined his formulations. So, you know, when you're going to say something like this, he's saying a very subtle thing to begin with. Right, two subtle things. Number one, he's putting on the agenda, I think for the first time, the idea that this takonas nigzal question, right, is a conceptual question, you know, not just an application of a common denominator idea. Number two, in doing that, you know, he's making this very subtle distinction between saying, you know, you learn this and it's a kol shekein, or it's not even kol shekein. You know, this is just a straight out application of the core original din, right? And this other one, you know, is an application, which may help a little bit for Aaron's question, which we'll hopefully get back to and talk about the Rambam. Maybe, even though it's strange, right? You mentioned to me that the Rambam's language in Takonas Nigzal is that he uses Divrei Sofrim for Eish. But he uses Drabanan for the Ikar Din of Nigzal. Yeah. So on the surface, that should be the opposite. One would think that it'd be opposite. But in a way, maybe it's something similar. I'm going to have to look at it again. But what I'm saying is, for the Ravid is making the subtle points. And now the question is, you know, now thinking if that's really true, so and what are you saying for the Rabbanan? So it's a very fine line if you have to formulate it. In that Sagas al Arif, he's saying, he's not a Gazlan Gamor, and he's building up the Pshia, but then he's adding about the Pshia, right, that if this Pshia is Kegazlan Dami. Right? And then in the Chidushim, he's kind of making the contrast a little stronger. And that is, for the Rabbanan, Betoks Shel Chavero, you know, this is Gezel, Gamor. And for Rabbi Yehuda, right, Betoks Shelo, it's not Poshea which is Kimo Gazlan, or just not Gazlan Gamor. It's Poshea, and it's not Gazlan. Right? Hard to know. Right? Because these are very subtle differences. Right. So definitely you wouldn't want to be metakein one on the other, because they're both very reasonable. And the idea that, oh, you know, he formulated it this way, that, even if I was just saying over, you know, I was just trying to be mevara what I mean, I might say it in these two different ways. And then if somebody called me on it, I would say, ah, yeah, they are a little different. Let me think about that. Or whatever. Or to begin with, if I was already highly sensitized to where I want to draw the line, I might say, I think very strongly this, or I think very strongly that, or I know there are two different ways to say it. So, anyway, okay, you get it. Okay, let's continue for a minute, because then it gets a little... And I think the Shekineg, though, again, in my text to the Ravid, is what he's saying is the Shekineg, the din of Takanos Nigzal, of a real Gazlan, is partly Novea from the fact that it's possibly Eid is a Lishvua, or at least Kasha Lishvua. But is that true also for the Rabbi Yehuda's Tok Shalo, who's not a Gazlan Gamor, maybe not even a Gazlan, maybe just a Poshea. A Poshea is not Pasul Leshvua or Chashud Leshvua. So maybe the point there is more that not so much that he can't swear, but that he causes problem, and therefore the other guy should have Namanus. He doesn't know, the other guy knows. Let's give him the... There are two aspects of Takanas Nigzal, right? One is his capacity to... The Gazlan's capacity to be Nishba, and the other is, the onus or the burden, that is shifted, away from believing him. Why should we rely on him, even if he isn't B'dieved Pasal L'Shvua or Chashav L'Shvua? So again, in the text that I have, what he's saying is, these are two different takanas nigzals. One is really takanas nigzal, and the other is, one aspect of takanas nigzal. Okay, so then it gets even a little more exciting. Not sure about how to draw the line in this one, but the shekinegdo, fine. Oz Mishra Venotel. Again, in the riff, the one of the riff, it's shekinegdo Mishra Venotel. In the text that I have, I don't know about yours, it's, and you won't say Shekinegdo Nizhva Venotel necessarily, just that he don't believe him. He has that whole extra line, L'shitaso, because that's a different subtle place to draw the line. Okay. The Dafka al Tamun, this part becomes very difficult. Avalala Galui, who was reading? Ellie. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I don't want to take it away from you. It's like, it's exciting. Dafka al Talmud, go.
Dafka al Talmud, aval al Galui, itain hea ta'anatari, yishtaba umistar, yishum de lav gazan gamor.
Ooh. So, again, that language of Gamor. Anybody, this is like, this is ABC. It's like a chafadimyo, like gazan, Gamor. Poshea, who's kigazlan. Right? What's he saying here? There's a little bit of a controversial comment. The Dafka l'tamun of a lagoli itoin heich tainas bari mishtabo miftar mishud lav gazan gomorhu. How do you understand it? Again, dilo te mahachi lemru lemilsei. This he says in both. The galui will divra kol. The poshke betamud rabbi. Then I'm not even sure I understand. El shma mina kedam kamrinan. Right? Okay, fine. What's the... And I'm going to resist the temptation for the masur, and I'm going to resist the temptation for the... this massive discussion about this Yerushalmi. Okay. But, one time we should do it, since it's here.
Add it to the list.
And
some Zadora stuff.
I'm very excited about the list. We're going to try to do it. Yeah. So what do you think, Ellie, about this comment? First of all, that people disagree, or everybody agrees with the Ravid? First of all, what's he saying? What's the Ravid saying?
Saying that when we say that there's takanat nigzal for Rabbi Yehuda, it's stopped in a case of tamar. By a standard case of gavli, that there wouldn't be any.
No, there's what about the same exact question? In other words, the guy burns down the other guy's field, but forget about tamon. Tamon is a very peripheral issue in Aish. The main thing of Aish is gavli. So the guy burns down the field, right? And there aren't Edim who know exactly what the damages were. And there's a dispute, either a dispute between the Nigzal, I'm sorry, between the Mazik and the Nizak, right? That's one possible scenario, each one saying Bari. Or the Mazik, says, I don't know what was there, right? Okay, so let's just stay away from that part of it for the moment, the Bari or the Shema parts for the moment. That's already something that's discussed in Masor by the Bali Tosis. It's discussed in all these cases by other Rishonim. Right? What exactly is the other person saying? I don't want to get into that. That's a Shavuos thing, although it overlaps. Fine. What do you think about it? But the point is that's certainly the question of applying Takanas Nigzal. Let's say even a scenario where the guy doesn't know. So you're going to say he doesn't know, and therefore he should be Nijma of an Iftar? What are you going to say? Either way, in either case, what would you have thought?
It seems like mitzad him being a Gazlan, this should make him even more likely to be a Gazlan.
Right, that's what I would have thought. Meaning the more, whatever you want to say about Tamun, the best thing you could say about Tamun is, that it's not less than Galut, I think. Is there any reasonable, logical way to think that Talmud is more Gzela than Galui? Probably not. Right? Presumably not. So when we say there's no Takanas Nigzal here, and especially, so if anybody else had just said it, what's going on with the Takanas Nigzal? Maybe it's a function, it's kind of a peripheral issue. Maybe it's a function of need, the need to rely on someone else, because who are you going to rely on? And that's really a bigger issue in Tamun, right, than it is in Galui. Or you could say some things which the Ravid does say, or which the Rajma certainly understands the Ravid means, which is, what about, the problem of what we call, Bari Garua, Bari Adif, right? You get to that in some of the sugyas in Bava Kama too, and also in Bava Basra and Ksuvis, meaning, there's Bari Vashema, right? And there's a Bari Garua and a Shema Garua, and there's a Bari Adif and a Shema Adif. Usually that's contingent upon, the factor of Ha'aza, right? And an amaze. Like, if I say you owe me $1 million, emphatically, Bari, so my Bari is stronger when you are in a position, to be able to contradict me. If you're in a position to be able to contradict me, and especially if I think that you're in a position to be able to contradict me, right, and you don't agree either, you just say, Shema, I don't know, right, then my Bari is stronger. But my Bari is weaker if it's objectively clear, right, that no one else knows what's happened here, right? Okay, so those are factors, regarding those factors, the need for a Takanas Nigzal, and even the suasiveness, of this Bari, if assuming there's a Bari in a Shema, we can understand the distinction between Galui, maybe we can understand the distinction between Galui, or we could debate it. So the Rajba, for example, says, Lule de Nistafina, it's interesting, right, because usually the Rajba's much bolder than this, but I think it's more etiquette in this case. I don't think he's saying I don't. He says, Lule demistafina, the Ravid, I would disagree with this comment that he makes. Meaning, I would apply the Takanas Nigzal to Galui, as well as to Talmud. Kol Shekain, in fact, and he starts speaking about, anybody have language, just very quickly, of Ha'aza. Anybody have the Rajba open? Alex, go ahead.
Vilule Shamra Ravzal Haisi Omer Shafilu Begaloi, the Kol Shekinu, Dim Hemi Nu Betamun, Shain Bari Shalom Kolka Chazak, Shevotech Baatsma Lomar Kain, Kain Makain Haya, Tamun Besocho, Mneshlo Yida Bo Chavero, b'meiz v'omer kach v'kach haya bo v'ata yadata lo kol shekein shabari shalo yosek hazak.
Yeah. Okay, good. We don't need any more. So again, does he disagree? I mean, the Ramban disagrees. Right? Didn't we read it yesterday, Rami? Right? Read the lines, right? The Ramban, the Agav, he doesn't mention the Ravid. Right? But he says that the din of Takanas Nigzal would apply to Galui. Correct? I'm making it up or it's there? What?
Yes,
you remember it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, good. So, but what's fascinating about, so again, you could have thought that this whole question is just a takanas on nigzal. But since the Ravid himself, right, already, he's the one, even before the Ramban, right, who made this breakthrough that takanas nigzal isn't just about, you know, the credibility question and the shavua question, but it also is about the hagdara of a mazik as a gazlan. Right, so that's why this becomes particularly interesting, and that's why he needed to say the words, right? Which words? Mishum delav gazlan gomorhu. But that's fascinating, because what do those words go on? What do those words go on? What am I asking? What are those words? Ellie?
They're going on the...
Oh, sheet of no, I was asking Ellie. I was just trying to be clever. No. Yeah. Ellie? I thought, like, you know, the day of the Ellies, you know.
Well,
can't be... it's Galway.
Well, is it
the
same as well?
Ah, excellent. Are we talking about Rabbi Yehuda? Are we, like, within the framework of Rabbi Yehuda and we're talking about Galui? Are we talking about even what we just said with the Rabbanon? Goli what? So what's the difference? I mean, Goli for Rabbi Yehuda or Goli for the Rabbanon? Meaning what? I mean, it's the same Goli. They don't argue in Goli. But what do I mean by that? You're totally right. I mean, you have the right... I mean, Goli where Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev Tamun and where we needed this Takanas Nigzal, i.e. Afila B'tok Shalo? Or is he saying this even in where the Rabbanan, and you don't even need Takanas Nigzal, right? Namely, the Shel Chavero. That's very fascinating. That's a fascinating question. Meaning, if you had asked me, you know, I would have said even Galui all the way around is more, you know, Mazik Biadayim oriented than Tamun, even in Tok Shalom. Maybe it's a combination of Tok Shalo and Tamun that makes it, you know, more Shmira or Pshia or maybe Poshet Kamat, whatever you want to say. Again, we just had even within the Ravid two formulations of what you should say, right? But in the end of the day, if we're talking about Galui, Galui is always a step up when it comes to, you know, Aish being more Mazik, right? So is even within Galui of the Rabbi of the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda, right, to say it's not Gezel Gamor, right? But then he would have to be saying, okay, at the end of the day, you know, that's still a good important comment. But Bepashtus, isn't the Ravid saying, and isn't his Raya proving? What does he say? I can put him in the Ramban. The ilo tebahachi lemrula milsa begalui uladivrei hakol kol shekein betamun the Rabbi Yehuda. If his halacha applies to galui betoch shel chavero, right? Didn't he just say before that was gezel gamur? It's what? I mean, you're agreeing with me. Right. So it would be fascinating if, nonetheless, right, the Ravid was saying, listen, everything I said before about, you know, this being Takanas Nigzal that is automatic and you don't even need a Rabusa from Rabbi Yehuda because this is, you know, Tok Shel Chavero and this is Gezel Gamor, you know, I mean that, you know, and applied even to the Tamun of Shel Chavero, Right? I mean that, but let's not get too exact, too carried away. I don't mean it with regard to galui. I only mean it with regard to meaning. I mean it, but not gomor gomor. It's only gomor. I don't know. I'm just saying there's something really extraordinary about this shita of the Rebbe. The Rashba does not attack him on that. I think because he's not really zeroing in on that whole chiddush of the Rebbe to begin with. But the full discussion of the Rashba is from the perspective of Bari Tov, Bari Garua, you know, from a credibility point of view, is this, you know, equal? Is it better? Is it worse? Etc. But I think what emerges is something really very a big question mark in the Rebbe, what he means. The Pashtus, he's saying, even Galui, Betok Shelo, you know, of Imtar Betok Shel Chavero, and that even that is less than Gezel Gomor. Could that be logically? Sure, it's just hard to know, you know. So there's Gezel Gomor, and there's Gezel Gomor, and then there's Gezel, you know, She'eno Gomor, or maybe just Poshea? I don't know. Just like, again, in the Ramban where there were some lines, and in the Hashlama, right? So just let me finish up all of this by talking about the Rimmel O'Neill for a minute, because there also, I think, you really see, again, that's also Chachmei Provence, that they're really struggling with this question. Okay, so just very quickly, because we've already made reference to some of it, again, in his Perush on the Mishnah, earlier. Okay, you have to always read them. Whenever there's a Mishnah, and you, as I mentioned before, here. So in his Perush on the Mishnah, which is also captured in the Sheet of Mekubetzes, there are two things. Number one, originally, it's clear that he holds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Chiv Tamun, there's no Ptur Tamun, simply because he doesn't hold the Skzeres HaKasuv. Fine. But when he explains what the Ptur Tamun is for the Chachamim, right, he implies that it might have something to do with the parameters of Onus instead of Stam being Xeris HaKasuv, which we'll see the Rebbe also implies. As we mentioned, if there are two dinim, like Balitosis, so it's what is Xeris HaKasuv? The other is a din of Nisasek, Onus, you know, Pshia, whatever you want to call it. But if there's only one din, right, and especially if it's kind of a sliding scale, so the question is, which is it? Right, it's you know, a hagdara of Xeris HaKasuv, or it's a hagdara of a kind of a misasa. Anyway, so the Rimmel O'Neill says Xeris HaKasuv hu shelochai veladavar shehu nira la'ayin v'hayol al hishamer mimenu. But I don't think it means necessarily that he directly thinks it's a patur anus. It could be like I was explaining in the Rambam, and that is that, you know, this is an objective definition. In other words, things that are predictive or discernible meirosh, that's what's mitzaref, you know, to be, or mitzuref, to be the Maisa Hezek of Eish. Right. Okay, either way, that's the Rimonio. The sensational comment, this is one that Asher mentioned the other day as well. You have it in front of you? The one that Shin Lubetz's quotes, is the idea that this also, that this Ptur may also be based on a kind of, you know, in the Chaba el Chidush, or a kind of a Knas idea. Yeah, you have it? Yeah, go ahead. So this formulation, this is the only time that he mentions knas, but it's fascinating. Here you have, in a way, like a very sharp contrast in the Rimmel O'Neill's formulation. So what he's saying, first of all, two things. Number one, and I'll just show this very quickly in a second because I don't want to spend more than I have to, but in every instance, the Rimmel O'Neill's description of what Eish is, Asher, is confined to Mevashel Tavshilah. which is fascinating. No one else has that. He doesn't ever say, aval, you know, im mavir hu biadayim, you know, that is a bumps it up one and changes the reality. He never says that explicitly. In theory, you could claim that, you know, this is all a rabusa, you know, the Rabbi Yehuda, to show you that even though you're just madlik, you know, or mavir tavshilo, that nonetheless you're always going to be chayv tamun anyway, maybe. But the fact is that again and again and again, even out of the context of Rabbi Yehuda, including this one where it's talking about Avodim Chachamim, but I'm going to show you just in a second the other places where he says it. It is a also in Daf Chav Gimel. It is a constant. It's a refrain. It's always the case of Mevashel Tavshil, which leads us maybe to wonder again if it isn't just Rabbi Yehuda, or it isn't just like, you know, Dibra Kosev Behove, you know, kind of a thing. You know, whether or not this doesn't support the chiluk of the Shach and the Yamshel Shlom, namely that beyond other chilukim, right? Namely, you know, you burnt the Gadish itself, assuming that isn't, you know, Mokom Gachalaso or Chitzav, but it means something in its own right. That's one chiluk. One of the chilukim that we have been discussing is the difference between, and we had it in the Talmidei Hari already, right? And we have it in the Shach and the Yamshel Shlomo, is the difference between being Mavir, right, and managing, you know, an Eish, you know, that somehow, you know, is like Kilu, we begin the process or we begin the analysis, you know, the Eish is already out there and it exists. And now the question is, you know, being Shomer it properly. Okay. So he doesn't say that exactly, but this constant refrain, I'll just read you the other ones in a second, of Mevashel Tavshilo gives the impression like this all started innocuously. It didn't have a Kavana Lahazik, or even a Kavana simply Lahadlik. It's all like, you know, it's almost like Shane, you know? It's like, you know, we're cooking. Okay. So, and if we weren't cooking, but we were just, you know, a little bit, you know, pyro, you know, we had a little pyromania in our then we'd be Chayav Gomor Lagamri according to everybody? You know, it's the same H, same match. Okay. So that's one. Number two is this idea of, what is the idea of Knas? The concept of Knas implies the Dailanu Lekonso B'mesha Galui, meaning Eve, all Eish. Now again, it could be all Eish, maybe these aren't connected, obviously. All Eish, which is really just innocently, you know, Madlik Tavshilo, that's a way of saying Chayitzira Satakala. And it's not Kavana, you know, Lahazik. One of the two or both of those, right? So why you chayv at all? Right? You should be like Onus, it, you know, got away from you. Or it should be like Grama, right? So yeah, the impression is Dai Lanu Lekanso Bamesha Galui. That's a fascinating line. Meaning even the Galui part is a Chiddush, and therefore we're not going to just one more second apply the Chiddush to Tom, right? Shahre Bershus Hidlik. This is, you know, below Pashabo Kokach. That's, you know, Betok Shalo and Bimavash, B'Shem Bishol. What if it's L'Shem Bishol still, so that's still not so edgy, you know, but it's Betok Shal Chavero? So that's when you get a sharp turn. That's even without being dropping the Tavshil. Okay? I'm not saying it would be worse. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Shach and Yom Shal Shlomo like. Right? So that becomes, just one more second, not just that you're a chayiv and it's not a knas anymore, but mechayiv al kol tomen sheba'olam, meaning forget about asuke, right, seemingly. The lav mishum isha mechayivo ele mishum adam umazut biyadayim chashutz. Again, very similar to the language of Rashi on Samech Amud Beis, and we'll see in a moment the Ravid. But these are still very important, strong lashonos. Now, kol davar shetzarach latzim batam, etc. Now he's going to pull back and say, "Oh, but if it's, you know, ain't darka lahatmin, so what? That's not ma'abed biyadayim, apparently." So again, these are subtle chilukim. Yeah, just to add one more thing for 1 second before I take a question. The two refrains in the Rivi L'Oniel, there are three things in the Rivi L'Oniel, or let's say there are four things in the Rivi L'Oniel. Now, one is the lashon of knas that we just talked about. And the application, therefore, kind of, that even the Galui is under pressure. you know, the second is the refrain of Tavshila, which I'm raising now and wondering about its implications, but I think it's very, very, you can't miss it. I mean, it's again and again. The third is, again, this idea of the flexibility we'll see, even of Eishu Mishum Chitzav, there are levels. We'll see that in just a second. And the fourth is the phrase that I mentioned the other time, that is Chosa Rahman. So what's fascinating to me is that Chosa Rahmana could have been understood as the opposite of Knas. Right? Knas implies you're Pata Legamri, but there's a Knas. Right? And Chosa Rahmana implies that really you're Chayev Legamri, but... Okay. However, I think that this is a great example of what we talked about in the context of Palganiska Mamona, Palganiska Knasa. And that is that some Rishonim really do understand that the Machlokas between Papa and, what is it, Rav Kahana, you know, really are two opposite, mutually exclusive perspectives. And so I'm not going to go prosecute that whole case again. But, you know, again, as we know, Rabbeinu Tam and others, right, I guess the normal conventional view. And what I was trying to show was that for the Rambam and for the Ravid, you know, and for some others, right, actually, maybe the difference between Palgan Niska Mamona and Palgan Niska Knasa is a very subtle one. The reason he thinks, meaning Rav Papa, that Chasa Rachmana Dafka here, and the reason that he thinks, meaning Rav Kahana, that this is, that the Torah decided to create a Knas here, is because both of them think that this is a kind of a tentative or ambiguous or, you know, problematic Niskemam. Just in one, it expresses itself on this sideline, another expresses the other one. And I think that the Rimmel O'Neill, in his using both of these phrases, Knas and Chasa Rachmana, in Eish, especially Eish B'Toch Shalo, or Eish and Tamun B'Toch Shalo, or maybe even Eish and Gali B'Toch Shalo, is kind of doing exactly the same thing. He's saying, listen, you know, this is not something which, you know, should be Pata L'Gamri. But it's also not something that fits into the normal conditions and criteria for being Chayiv L'Gamri either. And therefore we get Tamun, you know, being Pator, and we get differences between B'Toch Shalo and B'Toch Shal Chaveiro. And I'm adding now. This is what allows us maybe to have different gradations of Chitzav, different gradations of Mamono, right? And considering that maybe, you know, the question is to emphasize that everything is, you know, or that there's a difference between Mavir and Mavir L'Shem Bishol, or maybe even if L'maisa there is no such difference, that we always look at every Mavir as Madlik B'Shem Bishol. Because it could be. Okay, so that I'm suggesting that the Rimmel O'Neill is kind of a gestalt, and that these phrases that he uses are all his, you know, all indications of some of the other chilukim that he ends up substantively making. I'm just going to read very, very quickly some of those lines after Nathan's question,
yeah, I'm not
or
sure
anybody
that's
else's.
Yes. Yeah. Using Knas because the Rimmel O'Neill on Bayes,
yeah.
So he writes when about the Philic in the Mishnah Tosfos is addressing, so he uses the same Lashon and uses even within Shem Regel. It says, Ilo Kasir Rahman Behedya by Eish, Haviamina de Nifter, Bomer de Kavish Aimbo Ruachayim, Aimbo Koach Lahazik, Alim Kedav Rahim Ruribo, Dana Rucham Lifo, Oso Din Hushalo Likno Soso, Ababu Regel, the Karen, Yeshben Ruachayim, Beholi Shirotim Hazik, Behol Mahazik, Mushumhafi Din Hushin Nikno Sosan. I think he's just using Knas as saying, like, all the Nezikin's a Chiddush anyways, and therefore there's certain areas where we're going to be communism. He's not using Knas.
Well, I know. I certainly don't think that he means Knas in the sense of, you know, Moda B'Knas Pater or anything, like, or even in the part that the Ravid thinks is true for, you know, for Palgi Nizka Knasa. What I am saying is I think that the psychologically the use of Knas, and I think if anything you proved it more, although I think your point is well taken also, if he uses this in a looser way, so it has a little bit less significance. But I think he always will use it in that looser way when the context is one which is highlighting the chidushim of whatever it's being applied to. But that could be to other cases of Nizke Mamon too, but we understand that. I mean, the truth is that in the Lo Ra'iz in the Mishnah, right, So, of course, if you think that there's, you know, a good reason in the hierarchy to say Eish is more chayiv than Shein Beregel, then you're going to, you know, think that the Shein Beregel is more, you know, kind of...
The opposite. Saying since Eish is less obvious, you would think that you should not be conis that. It should apply the knas to the more obvious thing.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, but the context is kind of... None of these are Adam... Hamazik, you know, because they all, you know, have intervening steps, you know, and multiple contributors, and some of them are, from the Gavra's point of view, passive, or there's no Cheftzos or whatever. So we're really just trying to figure out this moral, you know, Lefnim Meshuras Hadin, you know, Iser may be oriented, you know, Chiyuvim, you know, and within that, these are factors that apply. That's kind of what I'm saying. But so I do think I think you're right that if he uses it more, I didn't notice it before what you're saying, but if he uses it more often, you know, then it definitely takes some of the sting out of it. I just don't think it's significant. We have to see when he uses it, when he doesn't use it. And by using it here, especially in this way, this more specific way, to distinguish between or to kind of explain that tamun is the ein l'chala knas expression from within, you know, of the galui, which anyways is under pressure, I still think it's a very significant use. And I think it's used there in the same way, although he is using it more loosely. Like if somebody only uses it in Paganis Knasa, let's say, or and also in Eish, I would agree that would be more significant. Okay, but on the whole, I still think it. And this, I think, is amazing. Okay. Yeah.
Two things quickly. First of all, going back to the Reitman for a second.
Yeah.
We're suggesting that he thinks that Talmud is Gezel and Galut is not Gezel?
No. I think it's impossible to say. What I'm saying is that I think when he's confronted with the Galut part, and he said that too is not, if he's saying that too is not Gezel Gomor, that kind of, then in retrospect we have to, you know, kind of, I think what he's saying is, I want to be mitaken what I wrote earlier, I was a little too enthusiastic. That's what I'm saying. In other words, my hierarchy, instead of being, you know, Gezel Gomor, and let's say, and maybe in the Hasagos, Gezel She'eno Gomor, you know, of Iposheo, which is Kemazik, right? Or in my Chidushim, you know, Iposheo, which isn't Mazik at all, and isn't Gezel at all, I now have to kind of scale back, you know, that even the Rabbanon's Tokshel Chavero, you know, isn't Gezel Gomor. That's what I think you have to say. I don't know any other way that it makes sense.
Not Gezel, we can apply it more on a case-by-case basis.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
one of the quick arrows, the Rosh Hashanah, like Hoskins very reasonably knowing that when you light a fire in your own rishos, so if you light it for the purpose of like some sort of need, like cooking or whatever, so then you can have all these like archakos of like certain shirim that you'll be potter for.
Right, which we'll get to in the other mission, but yeah.
But if you light it for like a destructive purpose, like you burn your house down, so then you're going to be high up regardless of how far it is from other people.
Excellent. Again, it's like the shach, I guess, but he says specifically Makdiyah Tavshilo, specifically. Does he quote the Rima
Lanil? No, but he says, Menirli the shirim halav of Enam el of the Eish ha'asir the Tavshisham.
And he's not quoting that from the Shach. That he doesn't think that's what the Shach means. The Shach Sivkot and Vav mean. Okay, great. No, I think they're very similar, although I think that technically they could be different. But I'm glad that you brought that to our attention. So that's where the Yorkshach and what Osa said? Kaf Gimel. Tafid Ches Chav Gimel. Yeah? Okay, great. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Is it possible to tell you, once the Torah already establishes a Knas, if you take away from that Knas, it could still be a Ches Chav Man?
Say that one more?
On Tesla and Aleph, when Yishon talked about the Nizak and the Mazak and Bechlal, the Tashrum, and talked about the Pagan is a Knasa, Square seems to invoke that Ches Neveila, even if it is a Knas in the first place, to invoke Ches Neveila would be like a...
Like within that.
Within
I hear that. That's a good formulation. I don't think you have to say that. But
as long as you're shown there, the Rashi does not like that shot in the Gemara there.
Right.
But could you say that there are those things? I mean,
maybe. Here,
once the Torah establishes the Knas, now it's a Ches to track.
Could be. I don't think it's so different than what we're saying. But it could be. again, it's interesting. He the knas part he mentions only once in these contexts. He does repeat again and again. Let me just mention these, and then I still want to start the next mishnah, just or the earlier mafreya. We're going a little bit, but yeah. So just a couple of quick citations. Again, firstly on Chav Gimel, you should know be aware that. Give this one second. Yeah, here he does, like the Hashlama imply, and like a little bit the Ravid and the Meiri, that the difference between Tok Sadeu and Besada Acher is Chitzav and is Kal Lo Chitzav. So I should just be aware of that. But again, he says, Demand Omar Tamad Chitzav Islay Nami Hechad Lomotzi L'chayva Mishim Chitzav L'chayvin Mishim Mamono U'min Adin Hoyad L'chayv Nami Atamun K'din Shor, right? Ela Torah Chasa Olov Upatra. This is a great line, right? Where Tamun should have been chayv like Shor, right? The reason that we, but he himself is saying that it's a kind of a Havalei Asuke Adaite, meaning this Havalei Asuke Adaite or Ptur Onus or the need, by the way, I'm explaining even more, the need to be, to kind of be aware of or conscious of the outcome or focused on it or objectively discernible that this is a likely outcome, all of that is a function of building up Aish, right? You know, to the point of being like a shore. But to make it a mazik. Shore is a mazik because the shore is mazik. Aish is, you know, is lespa mashasha. Right. This is within Aish Mishum Mamona. Min adin hayin l'chayv nami atamun kedin shore el Torah chasa olav upatra. Okay. So that's Anchav Gimel. But then come later on, he, again and again, a mazik sagadish. The Lodorish, oh, one second, I did it already. Here. On the actual, in the context of the Gemara, Hamadlik is a Godish, Lav Dafka Madlik, to come in Farish Vazu de Bahi, Betosh Shalomairi, Ulevashal Tavshilo Niskave. Okay? Ela Edeshalo Shamar Gachalasa of Esho Nikra Madlik. Next, Dibra Masli Shalimashi Betocho, the Madlik Betoshoch of Rabbanan Patri Bekli Bakar, the Madlik Betoshoch of Er, Klomar. Shalom Brishus Nichnas Bo, Levashel Tavshilo Sham, Velo Shamar Esho. Rav Yudah Mechayev, Mishum de Kimazik Biadayim Dami, Shaharei Lo Hayelo Rishus Likanes Betok Shol Chavero. Rabbana Modelo, that what? That it's Kimazik Biadayim Dami? Right? The Mechayev Nishalim Al Kol Davar Sheola Alev Ishi Etamun. The Kama'abe Biadaim Dami, Utsnan, Odam Muad Liolam, okay? Aval Arnikiu, Kli Kesef, Uzav, Shane Derechalam Lahatmin, Eilon Lechaibu, Kishenichnas, Afila Bershus, Loi Bedaita Lishmar, Kol Shakemza Shenichnas Shalom Bershus, Levashal Tavshilo, Eilon Lechaibu, La Arniki Vitabos, Shane Derechalam Latmin on Sham. So here he's explicitly saying that the Mevashel factor, as opposed to Mavir, right, is responsible for tamun of havela suke daite even within toksho chavera, which means, and given that he holds probably this is eisho mishum chitzav, that there's an eisho mishum chitzo, right, which requires, you know, pshia and yeda, right, to really be chitzav. Okay, avo madlik a sabira and so on, where there is awareness what's going to be. The kiven the mazik biadayim hu v'derech haolam, right? Olav hayalishmar. Then again, when he explains b'madlik b'tok shalo, the locha shvino lekema abed biadayim. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Avol mishum esho shehu mamono mechayvinan shloshom v'karoy. This is l'shitaso that's a case of kol lo chitzav. Ugzeres hakosav hu dechos rachman ale delo l'shale mele demechitim b'vat. Avomad b'tok shel chaveru klomar shelo birshus nichnasham levashal tavshilo v'lo shomer karoy meruach mitzuya demazik biyadayim choshev. It isn't mazik biyadayim, even though it's chitzav, but it's mazik biyadayim choshev. But therefore, it has the again the qualifications of, you know, yada lo yada predict v'yesh min rabban. Fine, good. Now, just a couple more. Here, Dibra Maso She'ena Mishalim Yidl Dmei Sa'orim Bilvat Min HaKelem HaTmunim Sham Chos Rachmana Alei Shepater Al HaTamla. Okay? And again, Dibra Maso Mai Havalach Gabei Da'az Kasei V'lo Domi L'mashu Mokam L'chaveir L'hagdish Sa'orim V'hagdish Shechitim De Mavir Lav Mazik B'yadayim Hu. This is like a quotation of Rashi, but he's comfortable with it. Ela Posheya Kedichsiv Kiteitse Eish Me'atzma. And this is within Tokshel Chabeiro. This is on Eshem Shemchitzav. Again, Eshem Shemchitzav Yeshoma Kai Gavna Pshita Dehainu Nigzal Gamor, like the Ravid. Shari Nichnas Otok Rishus Shel Chabeiro Shelo Brishus Livashel Shem Tavshilo Dehever Gedisho Klamar Shelo Shamar Esho Miruach Mitzuya. So what he calls, again, you know, Nigzal Gamor, this would be maybe a paradigm for we're just scaling back a little in the Ravid. It's still Betoras Eshem Shemchitzav, which turns into Mazik, and you know, which is less than actual Adam Muad Leolam. Okay? Okay, again, later on, one more. The Madlik Betel Shel Chaver, Klomish Shalobrishus Nichna Shem Levasho Kedei Rosso, Kivit Shalobrishus Hitke Lahadik, Choshvinan Le Kima'abid Biyadayim. So I think it's very clear that the Miloniel has these elements, and again, he too is struggling, you know, both in Eshem Shemchitzav and Eshem Shemamono, exactly, you know, within this continuum. Yeah.
It also a little bit sounds like it being the Tavshila makes it worse when you don't have Rishus to begin with, because of the fact that it was a controllable fire.
I'm not sure that I don't think it's worse than being Mavir, but it's bad enough. To put it that way, I would say.
Usually, when it's for a tashil, so like it's controlled somewhat, and your inability to be shomer it with the potential to be shomer it may make it worse.
Right. I just wouldn't make it.
No, I just don't know because we were just closing the possibility that it's always better.
Well, I think it's always still better, but I think, you know. This is the way. Just one other thing about the Ravid. Again, just should be aware that the Ravid also has a strong formulation that Eshem Shemchitzav is Adam Amazik. First of all, there's two things. The Ravid, when he explains Eshem Shemamono and the argument that Leis Be Meshasha, first of all, you should just be aware, we'll get back to this, takes it very literally. The Ravid said, quotes the from the Gemara in Beitza, Shari shal hevesi shidolekes v'holeches, the eino mamon, shari gacheles shal hektesh mo'alimba, shal heves ein mo'alimba. Mudar no mechaveiro, right? Noga b'shal havaso, nena b'shal havaso, the eino nena b'gachaloso. But just in terms of what yesh bo mishum mamasho or not, he understands this in a very literal way in terms of nitan l'me'ila, iser hana, etc. But the bigger point I want to make is that the Ravid implies that Tamun is connected to Onus, that the Ikar Din Tamun is connected to Onus, which helps us. Halo af hayashen chayev dehabalek Tamun. This is a line of the Ravid on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So he's comparing Eshem Shemchitzav to actual Adam Amazik and to Yashen, right? He's comparing Tamun to Yashen. That's not Xeris Akasa. Right? That's Havala Suka Adaite, but this is in Toch Shelo, presumably. I'm sorry, this is not Toch Shelo. Then he says, Soka Daitek Bein Lekun. Okay, that did in the Ravid. Yeah, then later on, in our Suga, he repeats it, again, this idea of Aval Madlik Betoshel Chavero Chayiv Dimazik Biadayimu Velo Gara Miyasha. So once again, he's comparing it to Adam Muad Leolam, even though he's going to have to scale back, as we know, just a little bit. Okay, so that is in terms of that part of the sugya. I might just have to come back to a couple of small points, but let's just take 5 minutes just to start so we can start. What about the next Mishnah? Okay? Ari, you want to... Okay, Nun Testament base. I think we're being Kori Lamafrey a little bit. Just to identify the two, again, big issues that we need to contend with here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Shlach Bia Pikeach, a Pikeach Chayev. Echad Evi Yisahor, Echad Evi Yisahitzin, and Evi Yisahitzin Chayev. Echad Evi Yisahitzin, Echad Evi Yisahor, and Evi Yisahor Chayev.
Okay, so again, the last one, the one who, right, to Zemakah B'Patish, if you will. That's an interesting question. If you have two contributors, you wouldn't have had the Eish without both contributions, right? So is that Shutfus? Are they both Potter? Are they both Chayiv Chatzi? Is the person who starts the process or the person who ends the process? So the Mishnah here seems to be saying, we're going to have to discuss all these things, but hopefully quickly, and that is that the person who concludes, I mean, again, as long as you bring Eitzim and you don't light it, right? Maybe that's not the first half either. Right? That's nothing. Again, it's true that you couldn't do part two. You couldn't create the fire without the contribution of Reuven. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Reuven, but Reuven's contribution is, you know, completely, you know, hechsher. Right? Okay. So that's very reasonable. We'll see what other cases are of that, if we get a chance. But the maybe it's or the person who comes last is the one who's Chayiv. You could have thought, oh, the maybe it's or he's always Chayiv, because that's the fire. Right? So the Mishnah's Mechadish two things. Number one, right, that the when there are two elements, you know, if it's not going to happen without the second element, right, even, you know, then the second person, not the first person, is completely Chayiv, right, all things being equal. And number two, that's even true when the first person is maybe a Sa'or and the second person is maybe a Sa'itzim. You might have thought that he's always the Madlik and the other guy, at least he should always be Chatzi, if not whole. No, that's not the conclusion, right? It's the second guy no matter what quality. Okay, let's continue. Go ahead. Okay, so Ba'achar V'liva Hamala V'chayiv, once we've said the first part, you know, makes a lot of sense, right? That's not so difficult. But the last line of the Mishnah, Livsa Ruach Kulam Peturim, right? That is, what do you think? Pashut, not Pashut?
Not so Pashut.
Not so Pashut. And the Rishonim actually struggle very hard with it. Meaning, why is that any different if we're talking about Ruach Mitzuyah? This is the first question to think about. If we're talking about Ruach Mitzuyah, so why? So basically you bring it, right? It's predictable that, you know, bringing it and leaving it here is going to burn down the guy's barn because it'll be, you know, slava al yedei haruach because it's a ruach mitzuyah, right? Why is it any different than bringing a flame, right, which is, you know, if there's no ruach mitzuyah, is not going to reach the guy's barn, right? Why is ruach mitzuyah capable of being molich, right, eish, but not capable of being malave or yotzer eish? Why should that? Is that a distinction? We know that there's a difference. Is that a significant legal difference or not? Okay, that's the first issue we want to talk about quickly. That's the issue that Tosfos talks about, and you should look at Sunday. We'll start with this. That's a Tosfos Reina Peretz and the Rajba, and we'll look at the Rambam, right? And look at the Talmud Rajba Baharash if you get a chance. In other words, because they're all trying to figure out, right, what is the problem? Why? What's the difference between, you know, koach achar me'urav bo and being molich as ha'esh? Is there a difference as opposed to koach achar me'urav bo in being melave or yotzer as ha'esh? Right? And what does that tell us more broadly? That's question number one. Then comes the Gemara, just very quickly. Go ahead. Okay, so this we've discussed already, and we've already noted that, you know, within Reish Lakish there are two formulations, and that the Rambam, you know, picks this one, and I was suggesting something about that. Well, maybe we'll talk a little more about it, but not right away. You know, mostly we've talked about it, but maybe we'll just add a few points. But, okay, that's the question of Savta the Cheresh, you know, and the different treatments of that, you know, in the different Gemaras and Halakha. So we'll, maybe we'll touch on it a little again, but not till we finish the other things. Okay, go ahead. Okay, a linguistic horror, right? And not one which has any legal consequence, so we don't need to discuss that. Okay. Livsarua kolim peturim. Here's where it gets exciting again. Right? It's exciting in the end of the mission. It's exciting in this discussion of the Gemara. Livsa ruach kulam peturim. Go ahead.
Tanur Rabbanan. Liba v'libsa ruach. Im yish v'libuyo k'de levosa chayef. V'la pater.
What happens if you have, right? If again, im yish v'libuyo k'de levosa, then, v'libuyo k'de levosa, then that's chayef. That's a davar pasha. V'imla pater. Meaning, so what is imla b'pashtus? What is it? It's a case of where you need...
He himself has to be...
You need a partnership between him and the Ruach. Right? He and the wind. Okay? He does something, and he's in a yachal, let's say, by himself. And the Ruach... Well, the Ruach is yachal, and the Ruach is also in a yachal. Okay, that we have to talk about a little bit. But okay, we'll say for broad purposes now, there's a combination, you know, that is needed, or that is involved... In this age, okay, in this Yitziras age, and the question is why? What's the din? Yeah. So what is the din? Leo believes saruach im yesh libuyo k'dei levosa chayev im lav pater. So the Gemara wants to know why is it that if you can't be malal, your livui on its own is not adequate, right? And you combine with the livui haruach, why is that pater? Go ahead. So what's the question? The question is based on the assumption that I'm going to finish literally in 1 minute, but yeah. Well, that is Zora. That's the malach of Zora, right? You throw up the wheat. This is the wheat and the chaff thing, right? Okay, you throw up the wheat, and the wind takes away the chaff. The chaff is the bad part. No, Rob. Yeah, if he knows Batei Nirin, you're saying he knows.
He grew up in the Midwest on a farm, so it makes sense.
What?
No, I didn't actually do that. I don't know what he's telling you.
I'm saying, yes, you know about Batei Nirin, you know everything.
Yes, yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. So you do, okay, go. Thank you. So, okay, it's confirmed. Robbie's confirming it. So you throw it up, and the ruach separates the thing for you. So the Gemara wants to know: isn't that an example of man? And nature, man harnessing nature. It's a very beautiful idea, right? You know, man and nature coming together, you know, in an integrative fashion. The whole Bria, you know, uniting, right? What's the flaw with that, would you say? When you first read the Gemara, a little bit of pushback. I mean, it could be the Gemara's going to push back, but what would you have said, just right, if I'd asked this question outside of the Shaklev Tire, this Gemara? Well, number one, Shabbos might be different than a Maisa, and Shabbos might be different. Maybe that's the answer of the Gemara. Well, certainly partly the answer of the Gemara Maskana. But I wouldn't have formulated necessarily the Gemara does the Maskana. I would have said, number one, maybe like what you're saying, Melechus Shabbos, the Hagdara of Maisa, not the Shabbos. That's why it's such an important question here, right? Because we want to know. The Hagdaros here relevant to other areas of Halacha, right? We've seen some already, and now we're seeing a few more. Okay, that's one. Even more, what would you have said?
Yeah, it could be that it's talking about this Kedei.
It's what?
It could be...
You know, no, not the things that come out, not the Hechatipsis. I'm saying, just when I answer this question, say, number one, who said that Yochel Shabbos and Hagdaros are the same? Why would they be different? Maybe because of Malachas Machshavas. That's the Maskar, that's what the Gemara is going to say, but we need to understand what that means. Right? Maybe because of what's required. Forget about Malachas Machshavas. Just the Hagdara of Malacha to be Chayiv, that's separate from Malachas Machshavas. Maybe just the Hagdara of the Abbas, you know, what it means to be an Av Malacha is different. It doesn't have to be the same as Malachas Machshavas. Maybe Malachas Machshavas is this additional layer, you know. Well, maybe that's the question. Okay, we'll discuss that. But you could have said something even more specific, I think. Namely, along these lines, but just even more specific. Gershon David? You could say Shabbos is different, Malachas Machshavas. You could say Shabbos is different, Malachas Shabbos is different, assuming that's separate from saying Malachas Machshavas. Isaac?
Trying to use the wind.
Say again?
That you're trying to use the wind?
That's a Hechatimtzi thing. Like, you know, isn't it happening? And if you're trying to use the wind here to spread the fire? I'm saying it's just a little bit more specific on the same, just in terms of matan. What's a sefer ma'aseh? Well, isn't that what we already said? Either melachim of Sheves or hagdara of melach on Shabbos. I mean something very more, a little more. Eitan? Michael?
Yeah, that you might need for Nezek or by Aish, it's here for the Maisa Hezek, which is different by Shabbos.
Oh, that, right, 100%. That's kind of what we're saying before. I'm not asking for a major.
Like you're doing
motion.
This is the definition of Zora?
Exactly. One could have said, forget about Melachas Mosheves and forget about the totality of Melachas Shabbos. Maybe this is the particular definition of what Zora, the specific Melacha of Zora is. Zora is employing the wind, right, to filter or to separate the chaff from the wheat. Right? That's what Zora is. It's not like there's something called Zora. And if you do Zora, by harnessing nature together with man, then that becomes an objective question, like what's the Kol Torah Kula, or even the Hilchos Shabbos perspective on the combination of man and nature. You can write a book about it, right? So beautiful. Right? No, this is a very, just like there's Bati Nirin, right? Very specific. What?
Depends.
We're still going to do that workshop, by the way. And just like there's Bate Nirin, just like there are other very specific, so Zora, as opposed to Bora or Marakeda, if we remember the beginning of the year, right, is using the wind in this way. That doesn't have to have any consequences, even for the rest of Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Okay. Anyway, that's something to think about. We'll get back to that. Right? Go ahead. Keep going. Okay, that's a Hechatimsi answer. Meaning, the Leva here is at cross purposes. So it isn't the combination. It's really the Leva HaRuach. All right, it gets you back to the problem with what's wrong with Leva HaRuach. Okay. Especially Leva HaRuach, which is countermanding what you're doing. It's not going to combine if it's contrary. Right? Okay, that's a Hechatimsi if you buy it. It's another way of saying Yenochanami, right? Good question. Either good question, or even if it isn't a good question, still the facts are correct, namely the combination of shutfus between Ruach, Mitzuya, and Adam is enough to be Mechayiv you in Nitzkei Mamon, at least in Eish, correct? This is a different take of tips. Go ahead, Rav Amar. Okay, that also is a similar answer. Although the question would be, what about a Ruach Sheina Mitzuya, which is present already? What about harnessing that? That's always a question. And do you mechalik different things when it comes to that? Right. That's also a Mishnah question when we get back to the Tosas. Okay, fine. From Zeir Amar. Okay, another technical point. What's that? He didn't really do ma. He didn't do anything. Practically. It's not a combination. What he did was basically trivial. Okay, I mean, there might be some implication. We'll get to it. Then comes the big answer, Ravashi.
Ravashi Amar, Ki Amrin and Zora, Ruach Nisayaso, Hani Mili, Dini and Shabbos. Melachas Makshavis, Asher Torah. Well, Hacha, Grama Ba'ama, Hu, Begrama Nizikin Padli.
Yeah, so the question here, of course, is what to emphasize. There are two questions. What is one to emphasize? In other words, is the main takeaway here that that Nezikin is the default and the norm, and normally and you should be therefore patur, because a combination of natural and human forces, right, is not a human responsibility. Harnessing the nature or partnering with nature, is not a legal action. I Hilchos Shabbos, right? That's an exception. Okay. Again, that the Gemara means Zora, the Gemara means all Melachos Shabbos, or they mean, even something kind of Melachos. Again, you should know, this is the only, we'll talk about it a little bit, but this is the only time in Shas, right, that Melachos Shabbos, Asur Torah, is used as a Chumrah. Right? It's always a Kula. Melach Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, says the Gemara in Chagiga, seems to say, the Kalkel, Melach Shein Etzricha L'Gufa, Melachos Shabbos, Asur Torah. That's why you're Patur. Right, the times of the Gemara quotes, Misasek, the Sugin Krisus, you're patur because melachta machshav is asur tava. Right here, and this is the basis for some rishonim, you know, having melachta machshav is asur tava as a chumra. Though they don't quote this gemara, but clearly, if not for this gemara, it would be very hard to say it. So this gemara is a landmark gemara in melachta machshav. Okay? The question is, does it mean it, or is it just another way of saying what we said, the simpler way, which is, this is the Hagdara of Zora, right? Or it's the Hagdara of Malacha. Or are we really saying, yeah, but even as such, it wouldn't have, but Malacha's Makshav is Asher Tov. Okay, that we have to still examine, because this is a critical Shas Mokar for that linchpin Halacha. But we're not learning a Shabbos now, so we'll do a quick job on that part. But the takeaway, then, is, this is a Chiddush in Shabbos. Or is it the opposite? Right? Namely, that what Gemara is saying here firmly is in Ochanami, but Nezikin cannot be Alidei Grum. And what does that mean if we're Mechalik between Grum and Garmi? Or if you Paskin that Grum of a Nezakin is Chayiv? Okay? So there's a huge debate in the Rishonim here how to Paskin. Do we Paskin like Ravashi or not? Okay? Well, this will conclude for today. Yeah, Yoni, how does Rama Paskin? Seems to paskin against Rav Ashi. On the other hand, there's another Rambam, where? In Shkenim, which the Nosa Kalim point out, seems to be a problem. Okay. So we have to see what the Rishonim say here, and we have to see what the Rambam says here. Okay, so these are the two questions. The question of Liva HaRuach, you know, why is that Patur? And the question of Liva Viliv Saruach, right? What is its status? And what are the different parameters? So those are two things we're going to pick up with on Sunday.